We're glad you're here with us this morning because we are going to look at our daily life and then our church life and then back to our daily life. And know that in this teaching, there's no separation. It's all the same. We're going to look at it through biblical words and ideas, and then contrast that with the definition that's just a mental exercise. The biblical words, when interpreted through the Spirit, through the knowing, through not having to define what is God, just feeling this peace, this certainty, this trust that earth is just a school, it's just one of the many mansions that Jesus said, in my house, in my Father's house, are many mansions. And I wouldn't tell you that if it weren't so. And so earth is just one of those mansions. And we have help. And we're going to look at the ideas behind this help. So a concept or a theory is something we know, and we don't really have to define it. It's basically a feeling, a trust, and a mental definition of these biblical words just stays in the brain, and it just doesn't really have an effect on our daily life. Now, Jesus is a really good example. He looked like a 30-year-old man, just like everybody else, wearing a robe, wearing sandals, probably. And one day, this very average-looking person walked through this porch in a place called Bethesda, that had pools. And so here was a man who had been lying on a pallet for 38 years. And so Jesus didn't engage him on his earthly form. What is your name? How long have you been here? What is your problem? That's all mental. That's all in the outer. Jesus walked around in his understanding. And so he just said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And after the man answered, Jesus said, "Get up. Take up your bed. Walk." Instantly, the man did. It was the understanding that there's this power always moving that knows just what to do. Jesus knew this, but the man didn't know it. He learned it. For 38 years, the man knew only his body, his infirmity, his surroundings. Jesus knew a power as pervasive and freely available as air, but with no limits, no conditions. Throughout thousands of years, it's been called spirit. Jesus knew that just like each one of us, he moved in it, knew it was the beginning of everything, and there was no power that could challenge it. He called it different names, because after all, he was a teacher, and he wanted to, he said, I came that you might have life, and have it more abundantly. He called it the kingdom of heaven. He described this power as the Father within. He said, of myself, I can do nothing. It's the Father within that doeth the work. It's this pervasive, always present activity and energy. He called it the Christ. He asked Peter, who do people say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. Not many people thought that. Certainly the leaders in the church didn't think that this man who walked around looking like everybody else, who didn't live in a palace, who wasn't born in a palace, who didn't obey every single rule that the Jewish leaders had set up. He healed people on Sundays. They didn't like that. On the Sabbath, sorry. So, Jesus knew deeper, more. He knew that this power did not discriminate, didn't punish. For those of us here on earth, in the earth school, our past behavior has no effect on whether or not this power, this presence, is available to us. There's no waiting until we die and go to heaven. In the words of Scripture, now is the day of salvation. There's no list of prerequisites to complete before this power can help you. It forgives you. And in order to be at one with this power that's always moving through us, we must be in the same mood and alignment of all we know about this power. And that means we must forgive, no matter what. Peter asked him, how many times do I have to forgive this same person? And Jesus told him, 70 times 7. Which in biblical words is forever, every time. This power knows all. But it's not like Santa, who keeps a list of naughty and nice. That's why we can always start where we are. We can drop things that we know do not nourish us. Drop ideas. Drop patterns of thinking over and over. What am I going to do? How can I do this? When we drop whatever we recognize, anything from our understanding, our beliefs, our behavior, we find we are already living in paradise. And Jesus said to his students, his disciples, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wasn't just talking to these people 2,000 years ago. He was talking to us. In divine science, we use three words to describe this presence. And they're kind of off-putting in a way because they're based on Latin, and you have to go a little bit deeper. Omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. But they say everything. Omnipresence, to our human understanding, is again just like air. It just is. It's available. It's only limited by our capacity to inhale and exhale. It's like light. It's for everybody. And it's always there. And then omniscience is all wisdom. This power is not just like the power of a computer. It's all-knowing, and it's all-loving. It always acts through us for the highest good of all concerned. It can be trusted, and it always acts through us when we're receptive. We are at our wit's end. We are at the bottom. We are lost. We don't know what to do. And like the prodigal son, we decide, okay, I'll swallow my pride. I'll go back and I'll be a servant in my father's house, but at least I'll have some place to sleep and something to eat. And so we turn to this presence, not expecting too much. And the presence, when Jesus told this parable, it was to show us that the Father saw the Son when he was still a long way off, and the Father ran to meet him and kissed him and hugged him and showered him with gifts and had a big feast to celebrate his return. No punishment. Just these gifts of good that God is. In the middle of the 19th century, P.P. Quimby was a scientist, observed the power of mind. And he was very intrigued by it. He wanted to know, how does this work? And he began experimenting. And he went through a lot of different teachings, techniques. Hypnosis was one of them. I think it's great. Is that the one he said was humbug? That was after, he was a scientist, he kept records. He knew that hypnosis wasn't the beginning of the healing process. And Quimby reached a level understanding of the way that Jesus Christ healed. And he did it by giving up all of his human error, his human effort. And he just turned to this power and was receptive. And in the mind of his patient, he knew that this same goodness was operating. And these healings that were already complete in the invisible realm of God-mind were revealed in the outer. That's why Jesus said, when people said, "Oh, you made that blind man see," or "You made that paralyzed man walk," he said, "Of myself, I do nothing. It's the Father within. It's this ever-present goodness that moved through this man, Jesus, because Jesus trusted." When man starts thinking, then the doubts come in. And the doubts, how could this be? I tried this, I tried that. That's beginning to introduce this concept we call duality. In the early chapters of Genesis, I think it was 2, the writer explained it through a story. He said Eve was in this place where everything was provided, and she looked at that apple and she listened to the serpent. And the serpent represented rational mind, the intellect. "That apple's beautiful. How could that be harmful to you? It's fruit, it's healthy, it's sweet, it's ripe. There's no reason for you not to eat a bite of that apple." And she did it knowing that God had told her not to. Duality. For the writer of this chapter in Genesis, it was to explain what people call the fall of man or original sin. But it's really this idea that there's two powers. The rational, based on what we see, what we feel, what we mentally describe. And all the while, underneath everything, there's this power of good. And the whole Old Testament, Craig's thesis for his doctoral degree, is really tracing this understanding, this growing awareness that it's really, Craig, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this understanding that led to the arrival of Jesus, who embodied this living receptacle, this living channel, excuse me, for good. How would you say it, Craig? I'm sorry.
The whole concept is the evolution of Christ consciousness. Right from the story of Adam and Eve to the present of the New Testament, Christ Jesus. The spark begins right in the story of Adam and Eve, Christ consciousness. That's what you mean.
And it's the same for us today. It's still the same power. It's still the same presence. And once we begin to drop all the details from a situation and just say, "I don't know what the answer is, I don't know what to do," you know, I'm open to whatever it is. Jesus proved it over and over and over. One time he went to Peter's mother-in-law's house. She was sick in bed with a high fever. There were people that had come to see if they could do anything for her. He told them to go out of the room. He took her hand. She was up well, and she began waiting on her guests who had come to help her. There was nothing in between, nothing to correct or change. It was instant. This is not a power that forces its way into our minds. It's there. It's love. And when we begin daily to recognize when we're doing something that we know is contrary to what we know of God, when we're criticizing, when we're feeling lost or discouraged, that feeling goes out. As Dr. Seale said, we walk out to meet our feelings. And so when we have a feeling of peace, no matter what is going on, when we have a feeling of love, it doesn't matter who you are. Joel Goldsmith was a 20th century practitioner. He lived in this feeling, and there was an instance when a man wrote him a letter to ask for healing. And then the man wrote back and thanked him for the healing. And Goldsmith never got the letter. It was just this connection to this power. And we don't understand it mentally because we like to be in control, know what's going on. But it's when we just give up and go to the power and just are willing for whatever it's doing. We can say, with Jesus, God has ways man knows not of. Let us pray. Loving Presence, we ask for increased understanding of our eternal life in your presence and care. We praise you, we thank you, and we love you and your creation and are grateful. So it is. Amen.